But having said that, one of the things, you know, sometimes Jesus said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in heaven as a banquet. And sometimes in communion we can get serious and should be, but also joyful. So, yes, I'm sure there'll be people drinking out of order in heaven. So that was great. So it really is a joy to be back, see so many of you that I love, and I'd love to meet with you, or meet you if I haven't met you before, if you're new. I used to be a teaching pastor here at New Covenant for a number of years, and do pray regularly for the church here. And Craig encouraged me. I just want to update you a little bit on the ministry. We've met... Craig and Doug and I have met, and I'm happy to help out any way I can during this time of transition. But 5 years ago, God changed my heart to pursue a ministry called the Apollos Project, which is aimed at equipping parents to pass the gospel to their children. One of the reasons is so many people who grow up in a Christian home don't follow the Lord as adults. So they grow up hearing the best news there is, and yet for different reasons turn their back on it. And so several years ago, I released a book, The Disciple Making Parent, which has done well, and I have a couple of copies. If you don't have one, I'd be happy to give one to you. So I've been blessed, kind of surprised. You know how your wife and your mother has to say it's a good book, you know? Like, that's, you're supposed to do that, but I've been blessed to have some people say, that it was helpful, and have heard from people as far away as Nepal and South Africa. And so you all were a large part of that, really. If you look at it, I bet you'll be able to recognize and say, oh, I remember some of these lessons that we learned together. So thank you. And it's really, one of the reasons it's important is because, you know, home is the first and often the hardest place to live out the gospel, right? No one knows how to push your buttons like the people you live with. And yet, we're to love those closest to us. So, just here's an example of the Lord's blessing. Just over a year ago, I set what I thought was a formidable goal, by faith. And I said, 3 years from now, I would pray. So here we are, this little ministry in New England. I pray Lord, what can I believe by faith? I pray that 500,000 people would have heard about the ministry, the book, and 10,000 people would have some sort of instruction, whether at a conference or through the book. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I can believe you that for 3 years. Well, long story short, a year later, we're up to about 450,000 people who've heard just maybe through a blog post, maybe through a review. And 7,000 who've been instructed in some way, whether through a conference. So I really feel blessed. I'm surprised. We did the Children's Desiring God. Do you remember doing that curriculum several years ago? Many years ago now. Anyway, Children's Desiring God, John Piper's ministry, has a children's ministry, so I've been privileged to meet Dave and Sally Michael. And they're fans. So anyway, all that's to say, I really, you guys support me as a church, and I appreciate that. I really could not do it without you. We're really helping families live out the Great Commission in their homes. And that's God has called you, if you're a parent here, to be a disciple maker. And you have little disciples. You may be changing their diapers right now as little disciples, but God has given you those guys. And so if we have not met, I'd love to meet with you, talk with you. I have a couple of copies of The Disciple Making Parent. And then Jeff Flynn helped me with, where'd he go? Are you still here? So he helped me with, we came out with this little thing called the Donut Date Journal. So taking your kids out on donut dates. So that's his handiwork. So I have a couple of those for you too. Well, the book that we're going to be looking at is Colossians. So if you'll take your Bibles and look at Colossians. And when Craig invited me to preach, I was thinking about Colossians 1. Well, a week ago, we had a prayer meeting of some of the preachers, and Brian Baker said, oh, I'm hoping to preach on Colossians 1 next week. I went, oh, okay, that's good, that's good. So I modified what I wanted to say this morning and prayed about it, and I believe the Lord led me to think about two passages that I think fit together and will speak a word of encouragement to you. You know, one of the things about living in New England is that the seasons affect us. Do they affect you? You know, it just seems like the days are long. Even as we're driving here this morning, there's an overcast sky, et cetera, et cetera. And so we want to talk about hope this morning. And I've entitled it Living in Hope Before the Face of God. Living in Hope Before the Face of God. And one passage we're going to look at is right here in chapter 1, but because next week Brian is going to take so much time there, I'm going to also look at another passage. So thank you for Dan and the message that both Dan's shared. Let's look at Colossians 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. And I'll just stop there. Let me just pray and invite the Lord's blessing on our time. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these saints that love you. And I pray and just the joy to be back in familiar surroundings. And we pray now as we open up your word, that you would speak something to our hearts that we know is for us. So would you do that now? Can I just invite you to pray that silently for yourself as well, that the Holy Spirit might speak something to you from this message. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about hope. And if you're taking notes, my first point is really simple, which is our gospel is a gospel of hope. See, look at how Paul starts by addressing them. He calls them saints and faithful brothers and sisters in verse 2. By the way, that's a sidebar. That's who you really are. You are a saint. God has made you holy, and also faithful. And then Paul says in the verse 3, we, his team, always thank God for you. And what do they thank God for? And look in verse 4, it's your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love that you have for all the saints. So vertically, your faith in Christ, your love for all the saints. And then he says, where do these two seem to come from? Verse 5, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. One of the things, throughout a theme throughout the New Testament, throughout Paul's letters, is a combination of faith and hope and love. So 1 Corinthians 13, a famous passage, often read at weddings. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. 1 Thessalonians starts with those themes as well. Faith in Christ, love for the saints, hope laid up in heaven. And even Ephesians 1, if you remember, what does Paul pray? Here's what I'm praying for you. You're Christians. What am I praying? I'm praying that your eyes are going to be enlightened so that you can see the hope, the eyes of your heart. You know, thinking there, these are interconnected. Think about your faith. Our faith is absolutely vital to our Christian walk. And yet, the scriptures talk about it can waver. Our faith can waver. Jesus said of Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Satan wants to sift you, Peter, but I've prayed for you, your faith will not fail. And so we one way to pray for each other is that we would be strong in faith. And it's faith, 1 Thessalonians talk about, which motivates love for others. Think about it this way. Our natural bent, my natural bent, your natural bent, is to do what's best for you. Augustine said sin causes us to curve in on ourselves. Sin causes me to curve in on myself, but Jesus said, what's the greatest command? Love God. Instead of being self-oriented, love God, love our neighbor. And so faith is what motivates it, motivates our love for each other, but Paul connects them here by talking about the reasons for faith and love is the hope that's laid up for them. One of the things that God intends to motivate his people to encourage us is the hope that we have in heaven. And so it is vital that we not lose sight of hope. What is hope? Now, what is biblical hope? It's easy to misunderstand how that word is used. So, as Dan already referenced, we might use it to say, well, I hope a certain team wins tonight. In other words, I don't really know what the outcome is, but I have a desire for a certain outcome. But that's not biblical hope. When the hope word is hope here is used, and if you look in verse 5, it's a noun. Biblical hope is a noun. It's a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. A confident expectation and a desire. So it's confidence. And one of the things God uses that hope is to motivate us. So we can think of a similar analogy here. So if you're down by the weather, if you're down by shoveling snow, if you're just, oh man, I can't wait the winter to get over. But in mid-March, you have a cruise lined up, and that is a certainty. Then as you're going through certain things, shoveling, dreary, cold, you are able to set your mind and set your hope on this thing is going to happen. So biblical hope, Scripture talks about, is a confident expectation for the future, and specifically things like, the Scriptures use it this way, seeing Christ face to face. Titus 2 and 1 John 3:3 tell us that it's the return of Christ and seeing Him face to face that actually motivates us to purify ourselves. I'm going to see Jesus, which, and again, if you contrast that with the Old Testament where God says, no one may see me and live, and here we're actually going to see Christ face to face, and as Dan has read, it's going to be a loving, inviting embrace and a face to face meeting. Titus 1 tells us that the hope is the hope of eternal life, of living with Christ forever. 1 Peter 1:3 says it's the resurrection from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again into a living hope. And Romans 8 says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly, but groaning with the sin, the fallenness of sin, as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that's seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it patiently. Just a little sidebar. One of the things, I grew up in a Christian home and remember having questions about the faith and saying, how do I know we're not just making this up? And this is just some sort of hope so. And, power of positive thinking. Well, the answer to that, it really goes back to how could the early Christians be so hopeful as they're being persecuted? And the answer has to do with Jesus, the Messiah, coming and dying, yes, and being resurrected and being seen by over 500 people. And knowing, and the resurrection is not a resuscitation, so it's not like he came back the same way. He had a new body, as predicted by the scriptures. And they can see this new man, 500 witnesses, this new man can actually seemingly walk through locked doors. He's eating bread, and we've seen him actually go up into heaven. And so the hope is built on witnesses. And so if you're not a believer here this morning, and this is a great place to be thinking about these things, because actually, part of my own testimony also is in college, as I was thinking, am I going to follow Christ or not? And as I was looking at other groups, and it's to realize, without Christ, you don't have a hope. So maybe you end up an MD, and you get lots of money, and then you die. What's after that? So the hope is the hope in Christ, and we as Christians should be very confident, even though it seems a radical thing to believe in, a fanciful thing to believe in. Just one more, can I do a sidebar on the sidebar? So Christmas morning, my in-law, Sharon's parents came up and drove up, and there was no snow on the ground. Do you remember Christmas morning this year? There's no snow on the ground, and at 8 o'clock, the snow starts. And we're all in the back, and you know where I live, in Cumberland, suburban Cumberland, and there's we're opening presents, just the snow is falling, and walking through the backyard is a buck of about, 5 points, 10 points, I don't know. But never seen a buck before. In our backyard, probably will never see one again, and then to have it snow right as you're opening presents on Christmas morning, and you say that's, if I were to describe that to you, and you were to look at the situation, you would say that's crazy, that's fanciful, that doesn't happen, and I would say yes, it does not happen, it has not happened in 25 years of living there, but it did happen, and I've got 6 other witnesses that saw it. In a similar way, times about 1 million witnesses saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead, ascend into heaven. And so, yes, it is crazy. It is fanciful, and it happened. And so that encourages us to be the most hopeful of all people. And so that's why the early Christians could say, who was it, one of the early church leaders says, you can kill us, but you can't harm us. Because we have a hope. Because we know that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. Yes, it's crazy, I know. But there are enough witnesses to know it really happened. And so, I'm all in. I remember when I realized, just thinking about hope and studying it and thinking about it, and it got a hold of my life, and I decided, by God's grace, I want to be a hopeful person. So we as Christians should be the most hopeful of all people. Our best days are ahead of us. Paul writes in Romans that the God is the God of all hope. May the God of all hope fill you with peace and joy in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, so it's not something we can work up ourselves, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So our gospel is a gospel of hope. Just for a second point here, just if you're taking notes here, we also, though, have some temptations in that hope. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 23. Because Paul, at the end of that introduction there, he says this, chapter 1, 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So what's implied there? What's implied is that we as Christians will face a temptation to shift from the hope. Or we can set, 1 Peter 1, Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we can set our hope other places. or we cannot understand this hope. That's the prayer Paul's praying in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope, so that you can see it by faith. And even in the Psalms, we won't look there right now, but the psalmist says to himself, he's realizing what he's going through, and he's preaching to himself, he's counseling himself, he goes, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." He's preaching to himself. You know, how it's definitely a place to go and talk with other trained counselors, but the main counselor I need to have is me, of myself, the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, and I'm not really sure why, but I'm not a person prone to anxiety, but I went through a severe time of anxiety and really had to preach to myself. Is my hope really in God? And I think God does that. He brings us along to situations where we think, okay, yeah, you think you're mature, you think you've grown. Okay, now here's the next challenge. And so there are temptations related to this hope. Put your hope. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Well, I wonder, move over. We're going to stay in the same book. Turn to chapter 3. Because I'd like to take this application, or I'd like to apply it one specific way. Preacher next week is going to, he'll spend a lot more time in Colossians 1. But I want you to look, how do we live in hope if our situation is not filled with hope? And for that, I want us to look at chapter 3, verse 22. We're going to look at Paul's commands to bondservants or the slaves. And let me just say before I read this, Roman slavery was not like American chattel slavery. It was not race-based. It was often for a limited period of time. A person who was a slave often became a slave perhaps to work off debts. So it'd be better for us to think indentured servants rather than American chattel slavery. So here Paul's, but nevertheless, it was not a great situation to be in. It could be very hard. Here's Paul's instructions to those Christians who are slaves or bondservants. Verse 22, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." What does it mean as a bondservant who has no hope maybe, or either bad situations, or as a prisoner of war? You are a slave. You're a bondservant. How do you follow Christ? And Paul, in essence, is saying, God's eye is on you. Don't live to please other people. Live to please Christ. Oh, well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. Why? Because you will receive an inheritance as a reward. In other words, an indentured servant who may or may not be able to change his outward situation can also live in hope. He can live with a hopeful heart. He can hope in God, knowing that God, Christ sees what you're doing, and we'll reward you. Part of our future hope, we're going to see Christ. We're going to have eternal life. There's a new kingdom. But part of it is also to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It propels us to serve and to love, even though no one else sees what we're doing. It causes us as Christians to live Coram Deo, which is before the face of God. I'm gonna walk before God no matter what happens. Supposedly, Jonathan Edwards had said, One resolution, I'll live for Christ. And number two, even if no one else does, I will. I'm going to follow Christ. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to follow Christ. Now, other places, Paul, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, hey, if you can win your freedom, do it. Go for it. Absolutely. So this is not fatalism. That's where faith comes in. But having said that, Paul is saying one of the applications of living in hope is living before the face of God, is, if you'll go back and look at that verse, not by way of eye service. Other versions have, or as people pleasers. In other words, not when people's eyes are on you, but with a sincerity of heart. You're serving the Lord. So you and I are serving the Lord with the hope, perhaps in what sort of situation that I don't know about? A troubled marriage, a troubled family, troubled work, troubled larger family, financial troubles. Whatever those situations are, you and I are not helpless, but when we have to live discouraged, we can live full of hope, knowing that is from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And you know what? Jesus said, my reward is with me. The reward is not here. Jesus said, my reward is with me when he's coming back. You could just do a search. It's really interesting just to do a search through Scripture and look at all the things that we're promised rewards for. So there's nothing wrong. Yes, part of pleasing the Lord is just a heart of purity, but also there are rewards. We are promised rewards for prayer and fasting. One of my favorite verses that motivates my prayer is Matthew 6, where it says, go in, close the door, and your Father sees what is secret, will reward you. So I'm all for, I remember, you know, still meeting with guys, and I'll say, yeah, tell me about how you pray. You say, well, yeah, I pray as I'm going to work, as I'm driving. But, yeah, okay, that's good. Is that the only time you talk to your spouse is when you're driving? No, there are other times. Okay, yeah, that's your Heavenly Father, too. Take time away just to pray. Matthew 6 says God's going to reward that. God's going to reward the fasting. He's going to reward self-denial, Matthew 16. Suffering, Luke 6. Those who faithfully serve him as elders, 1 Peter 5. Those who've invested in others, 1 Thessalonians 2. In fact, Scripture says, for even a small thing is giving a cup of cold water, Mark chapter 9. So if you just look, the New Testament is overflowing with the rewards that God promises his people. So, where does that leave us? Yes, it is a dreary time of year. Yes, there may be some challenges. Is our hope gauge looking towards empty? The truth of the matter is that we serve the God of all hope. And we have embraced a gospel of hope. So it's faith in what Christ has done that leads us to a glorious hope. And it's a certain hope. And it's a joyful hope that we can live out. So I urge you, join me, saying, I'm going to walk in that hope. I serve the God of all hope. Let me just close with Paul's prayer in Romans 15 that I'll pray for you and pray for me. May the God of all hope fill you with peace and joy in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I may abound in hope. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word, that it is a scripture of hope and is a gospel of hope. And Lord, we look forward. No, it is not seen. Witnesses saw Jesus. We just barely taste a bit. But one day we will eat and drink with you in the kingdom. And so we want to be all in. We want to be all in, trusting walking by faith, not by sight, and believing the sure hope that we have. So I pray for us, Lord, may we walk in that hope. I pray for any this morning who their situations, they're just crushing for different reasons. Lord, may this not be condemning at all, but may you, by your grace, give them strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to put their hope in you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.